Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Hi, this is Jim Wood, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast. I have the privilege of traveling around and sharing God's Word in a variety of settings, and one of those groups is Knox Area Rescue Ministries. They do a marvelous ministry in Knoxville, reaching out to the homeless, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak to their supporters when they have a retreat for some of their board members and key donors and friends of the ministry. I would like for you to be able to hear what was shared in that regard, and so for the next several days, we're going to be taking some of the material that I shared at the President's Gathering for Knox Area Rescue Ministries and airing that on this broadcast. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. It is the further development of a message God put in my heart a number of years back. And some of you may have heard the shorter version. Today you get to hear the expanded version, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Please let us hear from you, and please keep us in your prayers.
As we were walking in here last evening, because of the way that the room is set up, the couple that was just ahead of us, I couldn't help overhearing the husband ask the wife, trying to decide where to sit, you know, how far in do you want to go? And I kind of chuckled and I said, that's really the question for the weekend. Whether you're getting into a river or the ocean or a romance or a business venture, whether it's involvement in a church or ministry, or whether it's the matter of following Jesus, sooner or later, you've got to answer the question, how far in do you want to go? There are some questions that we just try and avoid. There are some questions that we wish someone would ask us and other questions that we hope no one asks us. There were questions that I enjoyed when I was a child. I particularly liked it when they would say, "What would you like to do today?" I loved that question. They would also, Mom would ask, particularly if it was my birthday coming up, she'd say, "What would you like for dinner?" I loved that question because, like our guest last night, I love to eat. So "What would you like for dinner?" was great because I always had opinions. Likewise, "What would you like for lunch?" or "What would you like for breakfast?" I had a ready answer. I also loved it, particularly in that context when they would ask the question, "Would you like some more?" This is great. Now, those were questions I enjoyed. But there were some other questions that I didn't like. I remember hearing these questions when I was young, and you may remember these questions from your childhood. Matter of fact, let me see your hands if you remember this. "Who do you think you are?" How many of you have ever been asked that question? Yeah, I thought so. How about this one? "Where do you think you're going?" Buddy, want to ask that? Okay. About, "What do you think you're doing?" See, I hated those questions because I could tell by the time that question was asked, I was already in trouble. It really didn't matter a lot what I said in answer to the question, "Who do you think you are?" or "Where do you think you're going?" or "What do you think you're doing?" It was the wrong answer because I had already messed up or I wouldn't have gotten that question. So I didn't like those questions. But as I got older, I learned that those questions are actually wonderful questions, very important questions, questions that we all have to answer on one level or another. And so, God willing, this weekend, we're going to look at those three questions and the answers according to God's Word to those three questions. Where in the light of Scripture, do we find answers? Who do you think you are? It's not at all guaranteed that whatever you think is the answer to that question is true. But I can guarantee you this. What you believe about who you are is going to have an enormous impact on everything else in your life. It's going to impact all your relationships. It's going to impact the most important relationship in your life, and that's your relationship with God. Who do you think you are? You may have a biblical view of your identity, or you may not. But what you believe about who you are is going to have a profound impact on the answer to question number two. Where do you think you're going? When I was growing up, I used to try to find ways to talk with my friends about the gospel. And one of the things I would do is say, you know, what do you plan on doing 5 years from now? And they say, well, college, I guess. I say, well, that's great. What do you plan on doing after college? And they say, well, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Well, what would you like to do? Well, I'd like to own my own business, I think. Well, that's great. That's great. And then what do you want to do? Well, I'd like to make a lot of money and retire early. I'd say, well, that's great. And then what do you plan on? Well, I don't know. I'd say, well, if you made a lot of money and you could retire early, then what would you like to do? Well, fish, I guess. So, well, that's great. And then what do you plan on doing? And eventually we'd get to the point where they would say, well, I guess at some point I'd die. And I say, right. And then what are you going to do? I say, I thought it was clever. And it did actually lead to a number of conversations where I had the opportunity to lead people to Christ. Because I would say it's interesting that most of us have an idea of what we'd like for the next 70 years or so. But a ton of people live their lives with virtually no clue about where they're going to spend eternity. However much time you get here, it's very finite. What happens to you after you die? That's forever. So planning for the next 30, 40 years, good idea. Planning for eternity, essential. And what you believe about who you are has a profound impact on what you believe about where you're going. Well, when we answer the question, who do you think you are and where do you think you're going, that ultimately shapes the third answer. What do you think you're doing? Because you see, only if we're living in light of eternity do we have the kind of life we should have in the here and now.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand. But the waves are calling out.
Think for a moment. Who do you think you are? If somebody were to ask you that last night, they wouldn't put it that way because you're not a child and they don't want to seem condescending. But I often seem condescending, so I'll ask you. Who do you think you are? Who are you? How would you define yourself? How would you introduce yourself? A lot of people in our culture tend to introduce ourselves in terms of what we do for a living. I'm Jim Wood. I run a children's home. That's who I am. I'm the executive director of a children's home. The problem with defining yourself in terms of your job is that eventually you may outlive your job. And defining ourselves in terms of our work tends to lead to a bunch of has-beens. I spent a fair amount of time with some precious Christians in, shall we say, areas that have a higher median age than Knoxville, okay? I preach in some churches where the average age is over 75. Boy, those must be dying churches. No, they're just in retirement areas. And some of these people are still living vibrant lives, but when you talk to them, they say, I used to be an attorney. I used to be in sales. I used to be a banker. This is my husband, Fred. He was a doctor. And I'm thinking, how sad to be a was already. To be defined in terms of what you used to do. So some of us find new ways to define ourselves. I am a grandparent of 13 children. Well, defining ourselves in terms of relationship has the potential of lasting longer, and you can keep updating your resume. But the problem is, even those earthly relationships begin to lose their power to give us the kind of identity that God ultimately wants us to have. There is one relationship that should define who we are, and that's our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the Bible has so much to say about who we are in terms of our relationship with God that if we get that right, it changes everything. And I want to submit to you that the Scriptures are very, very clear about the danger of presuming a relationship with God that isn't there. John 8:44 is Jesus speaking. Listen to this. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. Jesus said it. But he didn't say it to everybody. He said it to people who hated him. Because ultimately, what defines who you are is your relationship with Jesus Christ. If your relationship with Jesus Christ is like that of the devil, I will not submit to him. I do not want to bow to him. Let me tell you something. God promises that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Even those who are hostile to him are going to end up having to bow before him because he is Lord. He's not running for office. He is Lord. But because he is Lord, those who bow now, those who choose to honor him, who receive by grace, through faith, forgiveness, new life, we are brought into a relationship with him that lasts forever. But again, we're warned, don't take that for granted. Don't presume upon it. Make your calling and election sure. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? These were guys who manifested miracles in their lives. But Jesus says, I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Wow. That's somber. That's serious. That's scary. Well, 1 John is a wonderful place to go for assurance. I've written these things so that you might know that you have eternal life. But what did John write? John gave us a series of vital signs and says, if this is true of you, that should reassure you have eternal life. If this is true of you, that should be a warning to you that you don't know the Lord yet. If this is true of you, that's a sign that God has changed you. If this is true of you, that's a sign that you are still unregenerate, still in your sins. If this is true of you, writes John, then that is evidence of his Spirit living in you. But if this is true of you, then you're lying if you say that you're God's child. And it's at the conclusion of all of that that he says, "Now I've written these things so that you can know that you have eternal life." But it's not so that anybody who reads that verse will know they have eternal life. It's so that those who recognize God's grace, whose trust is in him, will know they have eternal life. You see, what determines who we are ultimately is whether we are trusting in him or ourselves. John chapter 3, last verse, those who trust in him are saved. Those who do not obey him, same word in the Greek, the wrath of God abides on them. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you think you are? Let me give you a few things for those who are in Christ. I find these very encouraging. In 1 John, which I cited a moment ago, listen, this is a word to Christians. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Did you hear that? We're called the children of God. You know why? Because that's what we are. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. That's very encouraging to me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of God. I am a priest. I'm holy. Holy? Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I don't pretend to be a saint"? Well, I don't pretend to be a saint either. I am one. See, I don't pretend to be a man. I am one. I don't pretend to be married. I am married. And I, get it, I am a saint. So are you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have to pretend. You shouldn't pretend. You shouldn't pretend anything. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a saint. We are saints, holy, set apart. We belong to him. We've been purchased. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're God's building. We're living stones being fitted together to provide a beautiful habitation for a holy God. We're the bride of Christ. Wow, that's good news. That means he loves me. You ever feel like God couldn't possibly love me? He's crazy about you. He loves you. He really, really loves you. I don't deserve that. You got that right. But he loves you anyway. How marvelous. I am loved by God. The only one who really knows everything about me, knows me better than I know myself, knows me better than mama knows me. He knows everything about me and he loves me. I'm amazed. Then I can handle other people's rejection. Because if God accepts me in Christ Jesus, then I'm truly accepted. I'm truly loved. I'm truly known. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. The Lord is our shepherd. We are his sheep. You are a holy person if you belong to Jesus. And you have something, you're gifted by God and have something to contribute to others. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says certain body parts might be tempted to say, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Paul says that doesn't make you not a part of the body just because you don't appreciate the function that God has given to you. Just because you don't realize the value of the gift that God has placed in you doesn't mean that you're not part of the body. Your self-image is going to impact how you relate to others, but it doesn't negate the fact that if you're a child of God, you have value. You have something that you can bring to the table. God has made you His own, and through His Spirit, He has gifted you to be a blessing to other people. Don't ever embrace the devil's lie that you have nothing to contribute. You have a gift. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how many IQ points you do or do not have. I don't care what kind of other stuff may be pressing in on you. God has gifted you to be able to bless others beyond anything you might imagine. You're gifted, and you have a place in the body of Christ if you're a Christian. Jesus says to His followers, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You going to hide your light under a bushel, or are you going to shine? You going to try to blend in, or are you going to be salt? God tells us who we are in His Word. And we can't begin to unpack all that this morning. I just want you to get a little sample so that you begin to go back and say, God, show me who I am in the light of Your Word. Help me to understand from Scripture what You say about me so that I stop believing all the garbage and lies that the world would try and use to distort Your image in me. You were created in the image and likeness of God. Sin marred that. But because of Jesus Christ, you are now being transformed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind as God's Word changes the way that you view everything, including who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Wherever you live, wherever you work, whatever you do, you are a representative of God's government, His kingdom. Does that give a little different sense to you about what you're supposed to do with your life? If you're an ambassador, I mean, an ambassador has to be sensitive to the culture where he's sent to represent his ruler. But an ambassador also has to at all times realize that what he does reflects on the one he represents. And so if you're going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, that kind of changes how you conduct yourself, doesn't it? If you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, if you're a servant of the Most High, you can't just do what comes naturally. You can't just follow your impulses. It changes everything if you know who you are. Who do you think you are? I want to encourage you this weekend to get before God, look into His Word, and see what He says about you. Realize you're a joint heir with Christ. You're destined for great things. And in light of who you are, you have marvelous things in store.
Well, folks, that's it for today. We have a lot more of this material to share with you, and I hope you're going to stay tuned. I hope that you will make listening to this broadcast a part of your diet spiritually, and I hope that we will offer some solid biblical nourishment. God bless you, and let us hear from you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.